Thank you very much, boys and girls from Green Cove Springs. Now, our program would not be complete without our lovely Jeannie of 1958. At this time, she's going to sing "Ah, May the Red Rose Live Always." Margaret Yates, a senior at Florida State University and from Gainesville. And here is Diane Weldon to sing "Old Antuckafoss."
Combed his hair with a wagon wheel and died with a toothache in his his heel. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you come too late to get your supper. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you come too late to get your supper. Old Aunt Tucker, he got drunk, he fell in the fire and kicked up a chunk. Got hot fire coals in his shoe, and oh Lordy Matthew, how the ashes flew. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you've come too late to get your supper. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you've come too late to get your supper. When old Aunt Tucker had passed away, they missed the mute that he used to play. They carried him on his last long ride and buried his banjo by his side. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you've come too late to get your supper. Look out the way, old Aunt Tucker, you've come too late to get your supper.
Just stay out there because he's going to sing us a little ditty. This is Marvin, Cousin Marvin Lacey from Lake Wales.
Thank you, Cuz. I'd like to do one called The Quilting Party. In the sky, the bright stars glittered. On the bank, the pale moon shone. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. My lips a whisper trembled, trembled till it dared to come. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. On my life new hopes were dawning, and those hopes have lived and grown. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. I was seeing Nellie home. It was from Aunt Dinah's quilting party I was seeing Nellie home.
And come a-running there, boys and girls, from Bradford County Junior High School in Stark, Florida.
Where y'all going? Did she tell you to go? Oh, all right.
While we have that piano out there, why don't we bring that other, your other big group right on? Wait a minute. Piano friends. We leave it out there. He's going to bring his other group right on now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to make a sort of an apology, if I may. We came up here this morning and found out this morning that our accompanist was ill. We're very, very sorry, so I'm going to struggle along as well as I can at the piano. I know the girls will do a fine job anyway.
Thank you.
Oh. Then I'd better tell some of you outlanders that this is the romantic, immortal Suwannee River, flowing peacefully along in its banks right back yonder. So if you haven't gazed upon it, you'd better go down there and take a look. It's very, very beautiful right here. And I have two beautiful people to present at right now, both of whom have lived always on the immortal Suwannee River. Mr. Tom Chairs from Old Town and Grandma Odlin, who still lives on an island in the mouth of the Suwannee where it goes into the Gulf. And I thought it would be nice to have them both just out there setting down, and both of them have some little tales to tell us firsthand about the river and about the lore along the river. Mr. Tom, you want to go first? You want the lady to go first?
I'm always behind for the lady.
All right. Ms. Odlin?
Well, it has been 48 years since I settled on the mouth of Suwannee River, right on the main Northwest Pass. And I was supposed to tell you a story of the sturgeon. When we went in there, the fishing was industrial business, and it was salt fish, and because ice, if you had a piece of ice, it was a luxury. Today, when I empty my ice trays, I think of the days it was gone when I would have given a nickel for one little tube of that ice out of that tray. But that's past and gone. In the fall, we mullet fish. In the spring, my husband sturgeon fish. Sturgeon fish is a great big fish. It weighed at least from 200 to 300 pounds. Even the sides, after they were butchered, we have saw them, would weigh 100 pounds apiece. Those fish was caught in big nets, 16-inch stretch mesh. They were tied by the tail and tied to stakes to keep them alive until shipping day. Then they were pulled on hill and butchered and carried to Cedar Keys, where they were iced up and shipped to New York. In New York then, we were paid 50 cents a pound for that flesh, for that meat in New York. 10 cents commission for selling it for us. And then they were shipped there and sold, and then we got our check back. Well, in those sturgeon is what we call caviar, which is roe, such as in the other fish. And though that caviar was put through a seal, very fine seal, and it looked more like fine shot and would taste so. To me, I didn't like it. It was put through that seal, salted and dripped, and then was packed for shipping or selling. And 1 pound, I could hold it in my hand like that. We used to pack 3 pounds into what sweetheart soap box. You know, we used to get them at 3 cakes in a box. And that was 3 pounds of caviar, which sold for $1 a pound. And that was our spring industrials that we made our living now. Well, then that was over the last of April, the 1st of May, until September. We did garden work and so on the island because we had no ice, we couldn't keep fish, couldn't keep salt fish, and nothing else. And I thank y'all for listening.
I think she won't mind if I tell you this, that Eric is buried on the island where he and his wife raised a wonderful family. 7 girls, Mrs. Odlin?
6 girls and 1 boy.
6 girls and 1 boy, and the boy is the youngest child. And he and his mother maintain a fishing camp there, and they'd love to have you come down and spend the night with them sometime, wouldn't you, Miss Odlum?
Sure indeed.
I think it's a wonderful place to go. But Eric is buried right in the center of the island, and his name is on the stone there, and the inscription is King of the Suwannee River. Isn't that lovely? And now, here's Mr. Tom.
Fellow citizens, let me pause for a minute and speak to these White Springs people. I come here to school in 1891, to the Florida Normal College. And these good people of White Springs, at that time, took a bunch of wee boys for $10 a month. Board, eats, and sleeps. Today you couldn't get it cooked for that. I want to thank them. I cherish them. I love these White Springs people. That is in 1890 and 91, and I can't help but always express my appreciations to them for their kindness. And they didn't anyone charge over $10 a scholar a month. Just think of it now, what it would cost you. Well, that's that. I was talking about Stephen Foster a little. Stephen Foster come to the Suwannee River. A lot of people don't believe that. But he come in a caravan over here to Ellaville. And from there he got a boat and a paddler there, and he drifted on down to Old Town on the Suwannee River to Mrs. John McQueen, a widow of John McQueen, who was a great slaveholder at that time. And he stopped there. She had four boys, and they were wild, and they loved their liquor, and so did Stephen Foster. And there's plenty of it made out in the woods. And he stood, and it's in watermelon time. And he would, they would have a lot of watermelons put in before him on the Suwannee River. And he'd sing the Suwannee River, and he called the little colored boys pickaninnies. And he'd kick villain in the river, and the bank was steep, and he'd go into the river, and they'd dive in for it, and they couldn't swim, and have to have some of them colored boys to men to pull them out. Well, he just enjoyed himself wonderfully there for several days. Finally, his brother, he didn't know where he was, but he located him and brought him down there and got him. Now, William Jennings, our ex-governor, has got a history of this. And his boy promised me to send it to him, but he won't do it. He won't let me have it. I wanted to bring it here to let you all know that Stephen Foster did come to this river. I was bred and born on this river in 1873, and I'm proud of it. It's a fisherman's paradise. This part of our country is a country that is unexcelled any part of the country on its climate. The year round. I want to say briefly a few words about these Seminole Indians. My grandfather, Benjamin Chairs, come to Florida in the Tiger Tails camp in the early 18s. And there he met his sweetheart and married her. He built a fine mansion out there. He had thousands of slaves. He built his houses with brick made out of the clay of the hills of Leon County. He was so peculiar that he even built his mule stalls, two in a stall, brick stalls and slats so they could see one another. He wouldn't put them in an open lot. He built the first railroad in the state of Florida from Sheriff Station to St. Marks. Of course, he had to pull that with mules. That brings me into the Tagatail family, about a quarter breed Indian, and I'm proud of it. I was just talking to Billy Bowlegs there. Billy Bowlegs, his great granddad, moved into Dix County on the Suwannee River, on the Sinatra River. Suwannee, he moved to the Suwannee River. We have a man that was buried in our section there at Old Town that come there in 1820. This man was named George Miller, and he died in 1832, the year that the war broke out on the Indians. They sent for his father in North Carolina, and this Miller was stealing slaves in the North and black marketing them in the South, and they were trying to catch him, and he had to come, and he'd come to Tagatiel's camp over there where my grandfather was. Tagatiel wouldn't take him. He said, "I'm afraid of too many white men." But he says, "I've got a boy, Chief Swanee, that'll take you down the Swanee River if you want to go." So he come and took him down there, this fellow Miller. And he lived from 1820 until 1833, and died. And they sent for his father, and father got there just before he died. He died with malarial fever. And when he... Before he died, he requested he be buried there, and the Indians were very proud of him. His father wanted to carry him back to North Carolina, and the Indian says, "No, you can't do that." Says, "He is a God between us and the Great Spirit." And he was buried there, and his father brought a tombstone, it must have weighed 8 tons. It took 4 ox teams to bring it from St. Mark's. They had to unload it there on that deep water. And a wire fence, and that's all there yet. And we're very proud to have that. And I had the pleasure of giving the Millers, when Fuller wanted to run for governor, we was all in the open range cattle business. And I was great to tell the people that the old Florida cracker cow was the second cow of Florida. And I wrote a speech on it, and I made a speech on it over here at Green Cove Springs, and I got a great ovation over it. Of course, today, they tried to put the no-fence law over us. I worked 2 years as hard as a man could work and got the legislature.